The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Well, I'm very pleased to let you know that Pastor Chris has now arrived safely back in San Antonio, Texas. So thank you for your prayers as she was carrying out the mission in the Philippines. So look forward to upcoming episodes because you will be hearing from her very, very soon. But in the meantime, you still have me, so I hope that you don't mind too much. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about how God wants to position his church into places of influence. And it's just a matter of us, we the church, being ready to be placed in those positions. Joseph, for many years of his life, unknowingly was being prepared for a position of great influence. And the reason for this was because there was going to be a great famine that was not just going to affect Egypt, it was going to affect all the surrounding nations. So by Joseph being there and God allowing him to get positioned there in Egypt, God was able to use Joseph to save the nations from a great disaster. And this is something that Joseph himself tells his brothers. It says in Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. It says, "And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all Egypt." See, Joseph recognized the hand of God in his life, right? But he had to endure a great many trials to get to that position. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. Yet throughout all of it, Joseph was faithful. In the position he was placed in, he served the Lord honorably despite the circumstances. And unknowingly, he was being prepared for a great, great calling. You see, and like Joseph, God wants to position his church into positions of influence so that we, the church, can point the world to Christ. We will turn the nations for Christ. And that is a really exciting thing, brothers and sisters. So you have to make yourself ready. There are many nameless and faceless people, none of whom we know right now, that even now are being prepared. And let me tell you, if you yield to the Lord, even today, you just decide, I'm going to obey the Lord, you will begin being prepared for your great calling. Now, when God brings his people into the place that he promised them, it will begin. It has to happen supernaturally, right? You can prepare yourself. You can do all kinds of things to make yourself ready. But ultimately, it comes down to God. Even in the case of Joseph, God ordained all of these connections to where he was in the perfect place at the right time, where the right person heard about him and knew about him and all these things, okay? It will begin supernaturally. And this is something we actually see in the book of Joshua, when the Israelites, they finally are going to enter the promised land. They're coming out of the wilderness. They're going to come into a land that God promised them. It's a land where it's a prosperous land. It's a fertile land overflowing with milk and honey. And it's a land where instead of being slaves, they are going to rule and reign as kings and priests. Now, before they enter the land, the Lord instructs Joshua this. He says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 9, "Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. And now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and standing up in a heap. And this is exactly what happened. The priests carried the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as they touched the water's edge, the water stopped flowing, and the Israelites were able to cross the Jordan on dry ground. So, even the Israelites entering the Promised Land, it began with the supernatural, okay? And remember this, the great calling that God has for you, God will have his hand in bringing it to pass. You will not be able to accomplish it by your own power, by your own understanding, by your own ways of doing things. Yes, you do have to prepare. You have to make yourself ready. You have to be willing to work and put in effort to obey God, right? I often point to, the story of Noah. God supernaturally gave Noah revelation about how to build the ark, what materials to use. You know, he produced all the blueprints and all of these things, but Noah actually had to build the ark, right? That's a lot of work, especially considering how big this boat was. He had to spend years and years and years constructing this ark to obey the Lord. But there's many things that Noah couldn't do, right? When Noah finished the construction, what happens? The Lord sends to Noah animals of every kind, two by two, and they all enter the ark. That's something supernatural, right? Noah couldn't have done that. You know, he might have gotten himself killed trying to round up, you know, some of the lions or tigers. The Lord took care of doing the big supernatural things that Noah couldn't do by himself. Two of every kind of animal. Even if those animals didn't like each other, they behaved themselves well enough to go into the ark, right? But Noah still had to work, right? He still had to put in effort, and he had to be disciplined to actually build the ark. I mean, you know, I like to imagine in these days, imagine that you got a construction project that God assigned you. You're going to now build this ark, and it's the size of 3 football stadiums, right? And I don't know if you guys have been to Lowe's, but maybe the first thing you might start doing is calculating the cost of lumber, right? And now suddenly, you know, all of your spare money from every paycheck is now going into this new construction project. So obeying the Lord doesn't necessarily come at your convenience. It does require us to rearrange our priorities and schedules. But God will take care of those supernatural things that we can't do. And so your calling, when God brings it to pass, through the supernatural, he will manifest it. Now, after the Israelites, they cross over the Jordan, God does something that's very interesting. He gives Joshua this instruction. It says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down in the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men he appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan River were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So Joshua received an instruction from the Lord. You're going to build a memorial of what I did today, and it's going to act as a reminder of the great miracle that I performed for Israel today. This is something that all of us as Christians need to get into our spirit, which is that we need to put things in place whether they are systems, manner of teachings, or even memorials, that will remind the future generations of who God is and what he has done. God instructed Joshua to do this so that the future generations that may not have witnessed the miracles of God, at least they will know of what God did for their ancestors. And there are many places in the Bible where God instructs the Israelites to do this sort of thing. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." And by the way, in Israel, they still have this. They have these things on the door frames of their houses that they call mezuzahs. And mezuzahs, right, there's these, they take up a little parchment with scripture verses from prophetic words of the Lord, promises of God, and they put it on their door frame. They're still doing this to this day. And then they also have the tefillin, or in the Greek, they're called prolactories, which is basically these prayer boxes that they bind up. They fill them with scriptures and literally put them on their forehead, or they wrap them around their arm to serve as a reminder of the promises of the Lord. Okay? And this is actually a good attitude to have, which is where when God says this is important and that we need to remember it and we need to teach our children about it and we need to institute reminders so that future generations will know about it, the Israelites actually took it very seriously. They created these traditions that they passed down from generation to generation to generation so that future generations would know about God. And we as Christians need to do the same. We have to train up the next generation so that our children and our children's children will not forget the Lord God. Because God is intending to bring a revival to this nation, the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. That is God's heart, and that is God's intention. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the harvest fields are ripe for harvest. We live in an age where people are more depressed than they've ever been before. They're on all kinds of medication. They're in all kinds of therapy. They're cynical. They have no purpose. They're looking for something that is real. When they encounter the truth of Jesus and how real he is and how deep his love is, they'll be changed forever. And there are so many people out in the world right now that need Jesus. There are so many. So the world is ready for a revival. But when this revival happens, we have to train up our children and our children's children and our children's children's children about what God did and about what he's continuing to do so that they won't forget. Because I don't want this move of God to go a couple years and end. I want it to continue across the generations until Jesus comes back. Wouldn't that be so much better? Right? Rather than this, you know, well, revivals, they'll last for 3 years or 5 years. No, why? Why should they end? But if we take care to prepare the next generation that they can also run with the baton that the Lord gave us, then they'll run. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hands, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt." Right? And this is God saying, look, your children were not the ones who witnessed what I did in Egypt. They didn't see the parting of the Red Seas. They didn't see the plagues. Verse 7, "But it was your own eyes that saw these great things the Lord have done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. And so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey." Right? And so the prerequisite to entering the promised land and possessing it and living long in that land and prospering, right? The prerequisite to that was to observe and obey all the commands that the Lord had given you. And this is true to this day. A lot of times when people receive a prophetic word, they will focus so much on the promise of God, right? The blessings, the good things. When really, the thing that we should be paying more attention to are the commands and instructions of God, because everything else hinges on whether we will obey those commands or not. Because this is what God says. You need to observe all the commands. And if you do that, you will have the strength to go in, take the promised land, possess it, and live long and prosper in it, right? So it is the same for you. That land that God has set aside for you as your inheritance, in order for you to possess it, in order for you to live long in that land and prosper, right? Whatever that land is, whether it's the art and entertainment, whether it's education, wherever it is that God has sent you as his ambassador to be the light and have influence and authority, you obeying the commands and instructions of God are the prerequisite for you to be able to enter that land. Down to verse 18. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking to them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, and many of the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. And notice this, right? This is part of the supernatural. If you walk in obedience, you will dispossess nations that are larger than you and stronger than you. Right. And when Moses sent the 12 spies out, 10 of them gave back a bad report. And what were they saying? Oh, my gosh, they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. There's giants. We're just like insects to them. And they've got fortified cities. We'll never be able to beat them. They completely forgot what God said. God said, if you obey me, you will drive out nations that are bigger and stronger than you. And it's going to be the same in this day, by the way, guys. Right. And in fact, the giants that we face in this day are much, much bigger. They have more influence and power than the giants back in ancient Israel, because in ancient Israel, they had physical giants. They were 12 foot tall or whatever. Right. And they were big and they had really thick armor and really strong swords. In these days, we have giants like Google and Meta and Amazon and Disney. Okay, these giants have wealth and influence and resources that are greater than entire nations. They've got more power than we do. They've got more influence than we do. But for those that are called to the arts and entertainment, for those that are called to technology and all these different arenas, if you obey the Lord fully, follow all of his commands, walk in obedience to him, then you will dispossess nations that are stronger than you and larger than you. We only have to obey the Lord. But God continues. This is still in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now we're in verse 26. It says, now see, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you obey my commands that I am giving you today. The curse is if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way I command you today by following other gods, which you have not known, right? This is the terms of the covenant that God made with Israel. You obey me and follow my commands, no one will be able to stand against you. You will prosper. You will live long in the land that I have promised you. You disobey me, you will not be able to defeat them. Instead, they will defeat you. Okay. And this is part of the reason why we have to train up the next generation. We've got to write everything down. We got to train them so that they will also have faith in God. Because let's face it, many of the problems that we're having today in America are because of a generation that was raised up that did not know the Lord. You see, in Judges chapter 2, it talks about how Joshua, he died. In verse 8, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered up to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook God, the God of their ancestors who had brought them up out of Egypt. They followed around and worshiped various gods and peoples around them, and they aroused the Lord's anger. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Okay? And a lot of the problems we have in this day is because this is what happened. A generation grew up that did not know the Lord, nor knew what he had done for the church here in America. And really, we, the church, allowed that to happen. Part of it is because we got distracted. We got focused on this concept of the rapture that, well, it's going to get really bad. It's going to get really bad. So we're going to hide away and then wait for Jesus to rescue us. Remember this, that Jesus told us to go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. That is the job he gave us to do here on earth. Right. And so this fear mindset that, well, it's going to get bad and whether it's going to get bad or not, it doesn't matter. We have a job to do here on earth. Okay. So that mindset is wrong. Hiding from the world is not the solution. And so we allowed our education system to reprogram our youth. We allowed the true history of this nation to get ripped out of our textbooks. We allowed the media to spread lies and wickedness, and I say no more. We are going to be the light of the world. We are going to train up this generation and the next generation how to serve the Lord and obey him. And we're going to make sure that we put things in place so that every generation behind us will come to know God, will come to love the Lord, we'll know intimately the things that he has done in this nation that have been so great. God has been so good to America. And truthfully, we've prospered not because we're so righteous. We have continued to prosper because of the mercy of the Lord and because of the things that were done by those who came before us. But we can't keep riding on the coattails of our founding fathers and the Christians that obeyed the Lord before us. We have to become men and women of faith and action. And I know all of you, you have a great calling where the Lord has appointed you and anointed you. Some of you will train young people. Some of you will train business people. Some of you will be called to ministry. Some of you will be called to finance and business and media and technology. None of those positions is greater than the other, right? Preaching is not more important than these other roles that God has called us to do. Your greatest calling is to hear the voice of God and obey him today. And really, you should determine in your heart that each day you're going to wake up and you're going to say to yourself, I am going to hear the voice of God and I am going to obey him. And we're going to do that every day, day by day by day by day. And as we do that each individually, suddenly we're going to look around and we're going to see this nation transformed. And that's an exciting thing. But I am out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.